That was Count On Me from Bruno Mars. Now it is time for our first guest this morning, and this is Dave Avard. I'm proud as punch to be sitting here ready to interview our best friend. David is currently in his second year of seminary life in Maynooth. Welcome, David.
Good morning.
I'm sure many people are all stricken, shocked, and yet full of admiration upon hearing that at such a young age you answered your calling. Tell us a little about your vocation.
I suppose my vocation really began when I went to Lourdes when I was 16. I was asked by the school to go to Lourdes. I was really taken aback at what I witnessed in Lourdes, from the priests, from the young people, and from the invalids themselves. It was a really, really good experience and one I'd never forget, and it really got my brain in motion and really stirred up thoughts that were deep down in me and began my process of my vocation. When I got back from Lourdes, I became involved in the church through reading at Mass, and also through the parish youth group. I was one of the first members of the youth group, and I helped start it up in the parish. And it really was a great experience. And it really got me to see what, you know, church life was like, and what I was getting myself into if I was to continue on my train thought of my vocation to priesthood. I suppose my vocation also involved a long period of reflection, and really thinking deep down about what I'd be like as a priest, and how that life would impact on my life. And would it be compatible? And then I just took that initiative to go see a priest and to tell him about my vocation. And it all began from there.
What did your friends think when they found out that this was what you wanted to do with the rest of your life?
My close friends, like yourself, Jen and Niall, didn't really care. They were happy for me. They were overjoyed that I was doing something I wanted to do. My friends in school were a bit shocked. But then they were my close friends and they didn't care either. I suppose I lost a few acquaintances on the way, friends that I would have known from different things, but distanced themselves from me as I carried out my vocation. But overall, I've had such a huge and positive response from my friends, and I couldn't do it without them.
Many people are fascinated in hearing about seminary life. What is it really like?
To be honest, if I was to sum it up in one word, I would say challenging. It's different from anything that I've ever experienced before, but then again, it's something that feels right for me. When we're in seminary, we're always told that seminary life isn't going to be your life, that this is only a step to priesthood. So even though it feels right, I know it's going to feel much better when I become a priest. The day itself starts for me around 6 o'clock in the morning, but we don't have to really get up till 7:15, where we have our morning prayer. Then we have Mass at 7:45. Then we have breakfast, and then our day is like a normal college student from then on. Or I'd go to classes across in the NUI Maynooth, where I do history and philosophy, or some of the students would stay in St. Patrick's College Maynooth to do their theology, which I'll be doing later on as my seminary life progresses. Then we all come back together at 6:10 for evening prayer and our evening meal. And then there could be times of, we have meetings with our spiritual directors, meetings with our formation staff, pastoral reflection, which takes place in the evening, and then we come back again together for night prayer, 9:45. So it's a packed day, it's a busy day, not a lot of time for relaxation or for enjoying oneself, but it's a great day.
At this stage of your formation, do you have much involvement in your parish and diocese?
I suppose due to my time restraints, I don't have a lot of involvement in the parish or the diocese. But when I get holidays such as Christmas and I get a break in March and I get Easter break, I always go to my own parish. I attend Mass. If they want me to read, I'll read. If they want me to be Eucharistic minister, I'll be Eucharistic minister. At diocesan level, I suppose I have little involvement. I did attend World Youth Day this past August, which was a great experience for me to be with fellow young Catholics from all over the world, fellow young seminarians, which is unusual in Ireland. I'm one of few, I'm afraid. But there's also things the diocese want me to get involved with, such as youth ministry or vocation ministry. So, for example, on Sunday the 27th of November, we have a vocation day in Newbridge Holy Family Convent, which runs from 2:30 to 5:30. So I'll be there, I'll be involved in that, I'll be giving my vocation story, if not bored of it already. And so little involvement, but when I am home and when I do have the time, I do like to get involved.
Given your vocation and faith journey, do you feel the church does enough for young people?
In my own experience, I think it's what the young person puts in themselves. the church can do as much reaching out as they can, which is a lot. They have a lot of youth ministry programs going on. But if the young person himself doesn't feel the need to get involved, then the church can't force it. So, like I did, there wasn't a youth group in my area, so I found like-minded people, such as yourself and Niall, and we started up a youth group. Become a reader in the church is a great thing. Your local church is always looking for young readers. To see a young face up there proclaiming the word of God is such a beautiful thing for a parishioner to see. Young Eucharistic ministers, it's a dedicated job. It's a job that needs a lot of reverence and respect. But again, to see a young person do it, it might inspire another young person to do it. So if one person does it, 10 other people might follow. So it's all about leading by example. And if it's not in your parish already, then do something about it.
That is all we have time for, David. Thanks for being with us in studio.
Thank you, Jen.
That was young seminarian and my best friend, David Vard. That's the end of part one. Stay with us here on KFM. After the break, we will be talking to Yvonne Rooney. Join us after the break.